Blog Talk Radio.
Hacking congested hammer of doom. No, this is the metal hammer of doom. That voice you hear, that giggling at my hilarity, is the disapproving dad himself, the man who hosts the Source Material podcast, sometimes at gunpoint from myself and from myself. He's my right hand man, whether he likes it or not. The vice president of content, Jesse Starcher. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well, sir. Glad to be here. Can't wait to be talking about our newest album that we get to cover here on the Metal Hammer of Doom with you. I think we had a tiny bit of an absence where we did a show on Friday, and now we're doing one on Wednesday, as we should. So it hasn't been too long since me and you wielded the Hammer of Doom.
No, it has not been a long time since we've rock and rolled, as is often said on this podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are reviewing an album that came out 2 weeks ago. It is the highest selling album of the week across all genres on the week that it did come out. Very successful heavy metal album, and you know, as Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson once told us, rock is in fact dead, so... You know, when you actually have one that sells a lot of money, we like to make sure we pay attention to that sort of thing. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are going to be reviewing Mastodon. Blood and Thunder, baby. Actually, we're going to be reviewing the new album, Emperor of Sand, which, as I said, was released on March 31st. It's the seventh studio album by those good folks. And it continues the trend of Mastodon being more progressive metal, the more progressive side of their stoner rock roots. Heavier than I think their last album, for sure, but still in that same groove metal milieu. And, you know, I'll just say right off the bat, it's not a bad album. It's competent. It's heavy, it's good, but I think you're going to find that as we go over this podcast, this might be another Children of Bodom situation where Jesse and I sort of look at each other and shrug and go, yep.
That same stuff, different track.
One. Mm. Yeah, yeah. I'm only going to say this because it relates to the album, and I'm pulling this directly from the wiki. The concept of the story of Emperor of Sand follows a desert wanderer who's been handed a death sentence. Themes of death and survival are woven into the song's lyrics, which were inspired and experienced by members of the band who had when family and friends were diagnosed with cancer. At the end of the story, the person simultaneously dies and is saved. Taylor said, it's about going through cancer, going through chemotherapy, and all the things associated with that. I didn't want to be literal about it, but it's all in there. You can read between the lines. So, knowing that makes me want to pay slightly more attention to this, because as I talked about on other podcasts, I too have cancer, and I will be going through chemotherapy starting Friday. I was supposed to start today, but that's a whole other story. So, I'll be listening to
what,
it again.
I wonder what happens in Mark Radulich's world when somebody else fucks with the schedule. And I tell you what, it's not pleasant.
I was shaking in the chair.
Oh,
literally
damn.
Shaking with anger. And not just because I'm OCD and, it's like, there was definitely a part of me that was embarrassed. I was mortified. Mortified, I tell you.
Mortified.
Because I put on Facebook that I was going to start chemo today, and I told everybody I was starting chemo today, and then they're like, yeah, I don't know why you think that. It wasn't ever scheduled. And then, admittedly, she was like, well, that's our bad. But yeah, you're not doing chemo today. And there's a whole other part of the story, which I'm not going to get into, but it's no longer relevant, because the thing I thought I was going to miss this Friday, because that's when they rescheduled my chemo for, isn't happening either. So, but it is kind of one of those things where I don't know what's worse about having cancer. The fact that you have cancer, or the fact that you have to give up a lot of your life to dealing with it.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go to a concert and go see Testament. I was going to wave at Chuck Billy, lick his cheek, I was going to kick him a ball sack.
Oh, no.
not a gay way or anything.
Okay.
Just a
not in a gay way.
A little pinch and squeal. I was gonna show him the Brotherhood of the Snake, if you know what I mean. Yeah, not in a gay way.
Right up the ass.
I was going to show him my Dark Roots of Earth.
Oh, man.
Other Testament albums. Unfortunately, I can't risk being in large groups of sweaty, possibly sick people.
Yeah, contagion-carrying people.
Yeah, I am immunocompromised to the nth degree at this point. I am living on over-the-counter drugs. So, be that as it may. Let's get into Emperor of Sand, or as I'm now going to refer to this, Emperor of Cancer. This is the first track on here, and we're going to go ahead and play it, and then Jesse's going to give you his thoughts, and if he's got any notes. Jesse's always got the notes, baby.
That's right.
Jesse comes prepared for class. I mean, he may not like Slayer like a real metal fan.
Oh,
but,
here we go.
But
2 weeks running.
I may be half dead, but I ain't letting that shit go.
Apparently not.
Love you, Jesse. This is Sultan's Curse.
Thank you.
we go. Song number one, Sultan's Curse. Now, according to my notes here, Bran Daelor, which will now be known as Finn Balor, describes the theme, a sultan in the desert hands down a death sentence to this guy. As he tries to escape, the sun steals his energy. So he tries. Now, this is where, let me just go ahead and preface this real quick, folks. I'm not too familiar with Mastodon. Not much I know about their catalog, nor do I know what kind of lyrics slash story slash music that they put into their songs here. So to hear them, let's go ahead and start this over again. A sultan in the desert hands down a death sentence. As he tries to escape, the sun steals his energy. So he tries, this is where it gets weird. He tries to telepathically communicate with these African and Native American tribes to get rain to pour down and kill it. So right there in that description, it just sounds, it's out there. You know, the concept of what they're trying to get across here is pretty out there. But as for the song itself, it's, I can feel the metal in there. I can feel the metal. I did get the opportunity. Mark made sure that I heard Blood and Thunder before we started this podcast. It definitely doesn't feel as heavy as that was. So Sultan's Curse, I would say, is the solid opener, especially for this album, considering what's going to come after it. And of course, this is a concept album. A lot of people were waiting for a concept album to come from Mastodon, and supposedly this is kind of an answer to that. So we're going to follow this character. Now, I don't know much. I can't really delve deep into the lyrics for the rest of these songs, but this starts it off and tells you about this character that gets banished to the desert and is not allowed to come back. Mark?
Speaking strictly to the craft of the music, this is textbook stoner rock. I mean, when I think about stoner rock, I think it should invoke at least some degree of an image of you actually baked out of your gourd and just letting the rhythm move you.
Oh, yeah.
And then this one definitely does. It has its elements of metal to it. It's definitely a heavy song. But this is a band just the way the guys definitely know how to play their instruments. You know, and it's not like a mosh heavy song. It's one where you just kind of sit back in a comfortable recliner and just listen with your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a great melody to it.
Smoke a doobie while you're at it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is one where you shut your eyes, throw your sunglasses on in the dark, lay back and listen to it, and let the rhythm move you to another earthly plane. And now, for those of you who are sick of that hippie horseshit, here is track number two. This is Show Yourself.
Show yourself. Show yourself. I wanna see everything you made of.
Man, it feels like something either the Foo Fighters would come up with, or just that pop rock feel, you know?
Yeah.
I agree completely.
Mainstream radio. Yeah. That totally screams mainstream radio. It's actually their second single, which came out February 3rd. And, you know, that sounds like a criticism, especially coming from an asshole such as myself. But
you're an
asshole,
you.
Hey, S-S-H-O-L-E, everybody. I drive really slow in the ocean. That's lame. While people behind me are going insane, I'm an asshole.
An asshole.
An asshole, and I'm proud of it. Anyway.
Dennis Leary, everybody. All right.
So, but I mean, it does sound, it sounds very mainstream. It sounds very top 40. It sounds like the kind of thing that they would play on, you know, your 97X. You know, modern rock radio.
Yeah.
And if that's what they were going for, they succeeded. Like I said, it's not a bad song. It's a very good song. I find it highly listenable, highly melodic. But you know, it's that. So if you've listened to this podcast before, and you're wondering when is the coughing going to stop? Soon, I promise. but you're also probably wondering. Like, they have a song, they have an expectation, and they just compare everything to it. Well, take a drink, because that song tonight is Blood and Thunder, baby.
Yeah.
No Blood and Thunder. But Blood and Thunder also wouldn't make the radio either.
Let me read you a little something here from Pitchfork.com. They say, on a purely musical level, Show Yourself is the album's showstopper and anomaly. It's mainstream, mid-tempo, and radio-ready, yet with the core of Mastodon integrity, a departure likely to be divisive, which I agree 100%. It's definitely divisive. But in short, a great, memorable song. So if you – I mean, you can't blame the guys for putting together a song. It's, a song's a song, whether it feels poppy or not. But I could definitely see – the radio guys reaching out to him and saying, let us put this on. We'll definitely play this. This is going to be easy. And by doing that, you're reaching that many more potential Mastodon faithful.
Agreed. All right. You got nothing else? Then we're going to go on to track 3 here. This is
go for it.
Precious Stone.
Let me ask you here, people out there, or Mark, if you can answer here. There's three vocalists in this band, and you can tell between songs when one takes it over or one decides to do a song by themselves, which I personally feel that it kind of adds a level of it's a good way of not keeping it samey, I guess. And the other thing is, this particular song that we just listened to, Precious Stones, I could feel the blend of hard rock more than metal in there to their sound. But, you know, this is definitely not nowhere as poppy as what we just heard with Show Yourself, but there's definitely a groove to what they're playing here. So, Mark, you got an opinion on the three vocalists here. Is that – could you tell that every once in a while, like, okay, hey, we got a different vocalist singing this song?
Not when I initially listened to it, to be honest with you, but I don't think I was listening that closely. It was definitely kind of background music. I will tell you that I can appreciate the concept of having multiple vocalists. I think it adds layer and texture to the music. And I think you're right. I think it stops it from being completely samey when you hear different pitches and different vocalizations. I think my takeaway with Precious Stones was like, okay, it's a good follow-up to Show Yourself because it's still got that pop groove to it, but it's a little punkier, it's a little faster, it's a little bit more aggressive. So it's kind of like it's a good concert song. It's a good concert follow-up to Show Yourself, you know, to keep the people's booties grooving.
That's
after
right.
They've heard the radio-friendly one.
I agree.
All right. Speaking of the plague that makes your booty move, it's the infectious groove. Have you ever actually listened to that?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I feel like I've told you about this. Write this down.
Okay, write it down.
Mike Muir of Body Count, of Ice-T's other favorite band, Suicidal Tendencies. The punk capability is suicidal. Mike Muir of Suicidal Tendencies was like in a funk metal band back in, I think, the 90s called The Infectious Grooves. And their, I believe their debut LP was The Plague That Makes Your Booty Move. It's The Infectious Grooves.
Okay.
And just because I say that constantly, you should at least be somewhat familiar with it. Go listen to it. And I'm going to tell all the listeners out there, if you turned into the old Wheezy Wednesday Night Mess Around, the Metal Hammer of Doom, and you've never heard of The Infectious Grooves, finish listening to this podcast hosted by yours truly, Sir Hackenkoff. And when you're done here, go on the YouTube machine and get yourself some Infectious Grooves and watch your booty move. In the meantime, here's track four, Steam Breather.
That is easily my favorite off this album.
Yeah, that's up there. You know, it's like, and I wanna like the heavier stuff, but you know, that one had all the right parts to it. That one uses left turn signal and right turn signal. It's a pretty cool fruit who really knows where his towel's at.
Mark Radulich explains his Radulichisms. That's what needs to happen next. Just put a podcast out there. 3 episodes, 1 season.
Of my Mark's many Radulichisms. The problem is I'm such a hack. All my Radulichisms come from somewhere else.
I'm put together by pieces from other things.
Oh, yeah. I am a collection of media I have digested. If suddenly I have amnesia and I can't remember any TV or music or movies I've ever seen, and I'm just a collection of personal memory, but without any outside stimuli, yeah, I'm bereft of personality.
That's wonderful.
But a pretty cool fruit who really knows where his towel is at. That's a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy reference. In any case, Stormbreather continues the trend of clean vocals, clean poppy vocals with that rockin' groove, that deafin' groove sound to it. You know, what Mastodon has done with Emperor of Sand through track 4 has really given us a nice blend of the kind of heavy music that true metalheads enjoy with a melody that makes it presentable for a crossover audience and vocals that show a range where, you know, clearly these people can sing and they're not just screaming into the mic. I think where there's a disconnect is if you wanted back, like, you know, our mutual friend Josh Calandros loved this album. This album is getting high praise from a lot of corners. But if you're one of those people who's very much stuck in the Blood and Thunder years waiting for that Mastodon to come back, it's kind of a Metallica problem. Where it's like, you know, the band has decided to go in this direction, you know. We've also said this about
they evolved.
Yeah, they evolved. They decided that this is what makes them happy, and yeah, some of the fans are not going to like it, but I think they're going to find a corner of the earth where there'll be new fans. They're going to appreciate what they sound like now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, these guys have been around, did they say, for 17 years? They started in 2000?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have some evolution of any band for that long of a time. I mean, looking at – it's wonderful to see, though, a band that has, you know, a very good – they've kept the core members around for a long time. Looks like they got rid of one according to the timeline here, which a guy by the name of Eric Sanner. So he stopped in 2000, but everybody else we hear here, Troy Sanders, Brent Hines, Bill Kallier, and Finn Balor. I'm just going to run that in the ground. Brandaler.
Hey, take a drink, everyone.
Wrestling reference. But those guys have stuck together, just much like Clutch. When you see those guys, they've stuck together that long. You know, there's going to be some evolution. Something's got to change, or the sound's got to change, and these guys are changing along with that. You can't keep the same sound as you get older, just because, or I say get older. It's not a product of age; it's a product of life experience, and it's going to influence you in some way. And so, as these guys continue to go throughout life and experience new things, it's going to influence how they want to sound. So you mentioned about how, you know, people kind of want that old sound of what they used to sound like. They might have threw some tricks, some flags towards the people thinking that it might be coming back, because apparently the logo that they put on this album is an old logo that they used to have. Again, it's hard for me to say compare this album to what they sounded like before, because I don't really have any idea. Other than just what I've read, it sounds like the clean vocals is one of the biggest, I wouldn't say complaints, but one of the biggest changes. Sounds like there was some more harsh stuff back in the past. And now we've got I remember one of the things that they said, one of the reviews said, if you, you know, you can expect to hear a bunch of these songs on commercial radio this summer, and be warned, if you see clean singing as a concession, you're going to have issues with this album. So it doesn't get much different than what we've heard so far in this album when it comes to how the vocals sound.
Okay, I'm sending you a message.
Send me a message. Don't tell me anything on the podcast or so that our listeners can hear it.
Send me an, I'm trying to be slick. Send me an angel.
Sing it.
All right, well, Jesse does his in-class homework. This is the Metal Hammer of Doom. Really, is just the education of Jesse Starcher. That's what we should rename this podcast. The Metal Education of Jesse Starcher, live on the air. Anyway, while Jesse reads the message I just gave him, and then the subsequent homework. This is track 5. Roots people. Roots. None of that is true. This is Roots Remain.
Education of Jesse Stark continues. So, as I did a little bit more research as that song was playing, I learned a few things about Mastodon. And let's talk about how they sound first. Clearly, you're listening to this album right now, and if you listen to previous albums, you don't need me to tell you this, but I'm going to let our listeners know kind of what they have, the genres of music that they have had in the past. They've played songs that sound like progressive metal, which I think we're hearing a lot of in this album, sludge metal, which I think describes track four that we just heard earlier, Steam Breather, as that's definitely sludge. I felt Alice in Chains all over that thing. Alternative metal, stoner rock. Clearly, that's what Mark's getting out of this. Experimental metal and groove metal. Now, their song, as we said, or their sound, as we've said, has evolved over the years, primarily going from harsh vocals in the beginning, and that we're not seeing much of that at all in this album 17 years later. Now, as for the subject matter, I made a statement earlier about concept albums. It seems like they have had concept albums left and right. The Blood and Thunder that Mark was alluding to earlier is a song. I specifically looked at the lyrics. I was like, is this about Moby Dick? I asked him that. And apparently that whole album is about the novel Moby Dick. Very interesting. So that's definitely a concept album. Blood Mountain, about a man who's searching for the crystal skull. Uh-oh. We're journeying into movie territory, and you guys might have to get your shot glass ready. And then we have Crack the Sky, deals with many different themes. The title, as well as some lyrical content, is a tribute to Sky, the younger sister of drummer Bran Daylor, who committed suicide at the age of 14. Themes touched in the album include dark magic, astral traveling, the role of Rasputin, and the downfall of Tsarist Russia. So anyway, what I'm getting across just by reading that is that they've had themes and concepts to many of their albums. They do mention that Hunter did not have an entire concept like their earlier work. So maybe those, you know, this is, again, another way for Mastodon to try to get back to form by using the Emperor of Sand as a concept here. So very interesting. I learned something. Now, let me talk about the song we just heard real quick, which was Roots Remain. One of the things that Mark had mentioned is this album has a lot to do with the personal crisis and struggles that these people had had with that dastardly C word. And I don't mean cunt. That's horrible.
Call cancer,
Mark,
call it by its name. just say cancer. Call it by its name.
All right.
You must call the evil by its name.
I hear you. So it says, don't waste your time. Don't let it slip away from you if it's the last thing you do. And there's a part in there at the end where it says, the end is not the end you see. It's just the recognition of a memory. And there is a lot of a lot of reflection in many of these songs. And Roots Remains is a very, very big example of what they are trying to get across specifically in the album. So it's an okay song. I think lyrically it speaks to me more than it does musically. So it's there. I remember telling Mark when I first listened to this album, I was not a big fan. And as the day went by, I listened to this thing probably a good 5 or 6 times today. And it kind of grew on me. So some songs where I was like, you're pissing on this song, this isn't any good. It starts to grow. So this is one of those growers, not showers category of albums. So
that song in particular is definitely a grower, not a shower.
Yeah.
They drift slightly back to heavier on that one. I think that last track feels like it's playing more towards the diehard Mastodon fans, you know, the early Leviathan era fans. Which is the Leviathan is the album that has Blood and Thunder on it.
Blood and Thunder.
Yeah. But I feel like in embracing their heavier stuff, they gave up what really is, I think, the jewel of this album, and that is the grooviness of it. So it's not that it's a bad song. It's as my son would say, take a drink.
It's not my favorite.
It's not my favorite, Daddy. All right, so let me ask you this, Jesse. I made you read that and sort of do a presentation for the class on it.
Sure.
Are you going to go back through the catalog now and listen? Because I know, because if Jesse may hate Slayer,
you know I like
concept albums. Yeah.
You do know. Oh, yeah. I'd give it a shot.
If I ever decide, like, all right, you know, like, we occasionally will do a Coop's Pit because, you know, as we know, that I am the unrelenting, schedule-y dictator of the Metal Hammer of Doom. But occasionally, I don't have an idea, or Coop really starts to, you know, get obsessed with a certain thing and, like, let's do this. So we'll say, all right, you know, with the lack of anything better to do, we'll do a Coop's Pick show. Sometimes I'm just lazy and I don't really want to host. So it's just like, all right, Coop, you pick an album and you kind of walk us through. The problem with every time I do that is just like, we're going to play background music to me telling you a bunch of non-related stories, which kind of is the Metal Hammer of Doom shtick. But there are definitely nights where I'm just like, can we please just talk about the fucking album?
Anyway. Who wants to do that?
So I have a funny feeling that, like, if I ever say, hey, Jesse, we're going to do a Jesse's Pick, Jesse's like, I have this concept album. It's about a guy and a thing and this murder happening. And yeah. Jesse loves a concept album.
Absolutely. All right.
Track 6. Word to the wise.
Drumming in this album. I mean, they really thought that this guy, I'm going to say his name right, Brandon Daylor, they said that he really did a tremendous job on this album. So, you know, to you, that's very much to support what you're saying there, where it feels heavy. And when you listen to this album, you know, multiple times, you can identify the work that this guy is putting into the drumming in this album. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I would be hard-pressed to say that between track 6, Words of the Wise, and then Stormbreather there, track 4, probably my two favorite tracks so far that we've listened to by a large margin. Um, ahead.
No, I was about to say something. I'm gonna disagree with you on Word of the Wise, because it just feels like there's not a whole lot happening. And I'm looking at the lyrics right now. I have no idea what the hell's happening. I mentioned earlier about how he wanted it to rain, and at the end, apparently this song, it sounds like he gets his wish, because he says a couple times in here, "I was to blame for all the rain." So, but I have no idea what he's talking about. Walking through a laser field, you know, send me a laser. No, wait a second. That's the wrong song. Searching through the laser field. But anyway, it's different. It's one of those ones that really has, you're probably going to have to look deep lyrically to figure out if that it really means something, or if it's just part of the story and you just got to take it for what it is. But not my favorite. Give me I want a graham cracker. This is not my favorite.
All right. We're going to roll this along. And people are just like, wow, it's kind of a short set. Yeah, dude, I'm fucking dog-ass tired. And I'm still coughing. So as long as there is air in my lungs, such as it is, there will be podcasts. But that doesn't mean these have to be a two-hour-long extravaganza.
That's right.
This is track 7, Baby Dolls. This is Ancient King. Blink-182 that sounds just like it.
Okay.
I don't know if you know the song or not, but there's a Blink-182 song that's like right. You know, I can't get that out of my head now. I'm not saying it's a bad song. I'm just saying, like, we started off good, and then we went a little Blink-182-y.
I can't remember that song at all. I didn't get that vibe at all. Of course, you know, when we hear something and we've heard it multiple times, we'll usually make that connection. So I must have heard that Blink-182 song too many times. Was it a radio song or was it off an album?
Well, I mean, it was on an album, but I mean, a lot of Blink-182 got a lot of radio play.
Radio play, yeah. So, okay.
Hang on, let me see if I can actually take a wild guess at what the name of the song might be.
Please do. I was just going to say, Ancient Kingdom itself, I'll just read what Loudwire says here. Loudwire.com, it says, it only takes until the halfway point of Emperor of Sand to realize how progressive the album is. The unruly exploration of Hines and Kaler's guitar melodies is expansive as the desert met with all the plateaus, pitfalls, and shifting footholds one would encounter on a nefarious march. So again, you know, they're kind of tying that to the concept of the guy who got banned to the desert. I wrote that down here in my notes because I do recognize here at this point how progressive this album is. You know, you can see it takes you know, that hard rock and kind of melds it in there with a little bit of metal. But this album and a lot of the songs on here do a lot of changing. You know, they'll sound like one thing at the beginning, and then a couple minutes into it, it might start to sound like another part of a song. I'm not saying it's like two songs in one. I'm just saying it's got a bit of morphing to it. Not, you know, it's kind of obvious in some songs and not so much in the others. But again,
all right.
I think that's go ahead.
Here's what I want you to do.
I will do it.
I'm gonna go ahead and play Clandestiny. You're gonna go get Blink-182's Stay Together for the Kids.
Will do.
All right. And we'll go. Hey, by the way, before we go, what is you and your friend there, Jason Teasley, uploaded a lot of sound on this, and they're like labeled in a way where I don't know what the fuck they are. What is MC mid 2, MC mid 1? What is all this?
MC. Play it and find out. Let's see.
All right, you go ahead.
So, I don't know what it sounds like. It might possibly be something that I put up there. Usually I put SM to start mine, but MC mid might be like the mid. I have no idea.
All right, go ahead and Blink 182 track. I'm going to have fun with sound.
This is starting to sound like a bad comic book plot. It gets worse.
Okay.
New York City. Panic.
Maximum carnage.
Terror.
That had 10 more seconds to it, and I couldn't take it anymore. All right, let's see what this is. This is MC Intro. Yeah, I'm going to be deleting a lot of these tonight. All right. Intro 2.
New York City. Panic. Terror.
Nope.
Maximum Carnage. Maximum Carnage.
Oh, that's what that is. Okay.
Yeah, and what you're listening to there is the commercial, actually, for the video game. So I must have put that together. How long ago have those been sitting there? Like over a year.
A long time. Yeah, you're one of your homework assignments maybe to clean all this shit out of the closet here.
Now, damn it. There should be only a few on there. I think I went through and cleaned up a good bit, but there's no way of listening to them. There's no way of listening to them offline, is there?
No. You got my song yet?
Bastards. I've got your song. Got to get it uploaded. Hold on. I'm working on it.
PND.
Stay Together for the Kids, right?
Yeah, PNDU Intro. Nope. Let's see. Here's the outro.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you're gonna go. At home now, don't change.
I'm ready.
Now wait a second.
Yeah. That's all getting deleted tonight.
Welcome to the Hammer of Doom, where you maybe get to a little bit of, listen to a little bit of the Mastodon album. Maybe.
All right.
It's up now.
Right, I'm
gonna
go ahead.
000. So it should be at the top of the list here as soon as it gets processed.
Alright. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and play Ancient Kingdom one more time. And I want you to pay close attention to where the show song shifts. And you get the because that's the whole point of this bit that we're doing right now. Okay?
All right.
So,
all right.
I'm going to quit. So we're back, everybody. This is Ancient Kingdom, part two.
Some Blink 182, but so that's the first time I've actually heard that. Yeah, that's the first time I've heard that song.
That's crazy talk.
Well,
it's from the 2001 Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, sir. That was
a pretty popular album.
Weren't into punk. Yeah, I was gonna say like you couldn't get the fuck away from this album.
What was the big hit off of that one? Because there
are you
there was.
My goodness.
Are you fucking kidding me? I know that's what you wanted to say, Mark Radulich.
I'm just like, this is like the Slick the Bean thing all over again. What the fuck, man?
Slick the Bean. Oh, Slick the Bean.
Sir, I don't. Take off your pants and jacket was the Slick the Bean of.
All right, so the three big singles off of this were The Rock Show, First Date, and Stay Together for the Kids. And Stay Together for the Kids was so popular. How popular was it? It was so popular, it has its own wiki page.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. Were you in a coma?
2001? Man, I'm trying to find, like, there are a few Blink 182 songs that I know really well. Because I've heard them a ton, but none of that stuff even rings. Yeah, it doesn't even ring a bell. First Date. What is this?
Let's just stick with Stay Together for the Kids.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm just looking to, because I'm trying to figure out if I've heard First Date before. Man, I'm gonna have to go back and refresh my memory, man. At some point, all the small things. All the small. Now, see that one. I
small
know.
Small things. Yeah.
Yes.
Well.
Yeah. That was huge. That was played like over and over. I'm really surprised that wasn't like the top.
That was also not on this album.
Yes, not on that album.
That I believe is Enema of the State.
Okay. Earlier or later?
Earlier.
Looking. Was it earlier
than
that?
Yeah, it was 1999.
Okay. Now I could see because. In 98, 99, when I was at OU, my buddy that got me into Clutch, I've mentioned my buddy Ty, he was a huge punk rock fan. And Blink 182 mm-hmm. was, he was into early Blink 182. So I'm guarantee you I've heard a good bit of the earlier stuff.
Oh, that,
so.
Yeah, that makes sense. From the wiki, Enema of the State was an enormous commercial success. You aren't fucking kidding. The album sold over 50 million copies worldwide, catapulting the band to become one of the biggest rock bands at the turn of the century with What's My Name Again? What's My Age Again? All the Small
What's
Things.
My, yep.
Adam's Song. Became hit singles and MTV staples, generating heavy radio airplay. So,
yep.
And Take Off Your Pants and Jacket was no slouch. I want to see. Let's see. Trying to see. The album had near immediate success, becoming the first punk rock identified record to debut at number one on the Billboard 200 and being certified as double platinum in 2002.
That's some popularity.
Yeah. Take Off Your Pants and Jacket sold over 14 million copies worldwide. There's no way you didn't hear this song. Like, you might not have stayed with it. Unless you just weren't listening to radio at the time.
It's a very good possibility I wasn't listening to a whole lot. I know I was, but maybe it just wasn't getting a whole lot of play on the stations that I had around here. 2001.
It was installed in cars. If you open a car door, it was black.
Like you had to take off your pants and jacket button right there on the radio.
Yeah, if you put your left turn signal on, it would play fucking 2082.
Fucking car.
I'm telling you, you heard this, but you probably had a similar reaction to it that I had to Sugar Ray, where you just blocked it out of your memory.
Oh man, I'll never forget that Sugar Ray story. That's some great stuff.
Yeah. All right, moving right along. Back to D, and people thought we weren't going to completely lose track of what we were talking about. Hey everybody,
we're back.
Metal Hammer of Doom. Squirrel. All right, this is track 8. Plan Death.
Running without vision, hollowed out of sight, wrong, you know that's right.
too harsh on the Beaver. I'm actually really enjoying this. I think listening to it as sort of background, it causes the listener to treat it as such. I treated it like background music when I listened to it because that's what it was. But as we compartmentalize each track and we're focusing on them, I'm finding, I think my only criticism is there is a bit of sameness to it, but it's not an uninteresting sameness. It's not a 6 feet under sameness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That last song is a fun song. I mean, I don't know if it's tremendously standout, but as I'm taking the time to talk about it and really listen to it, I have to say, Clandestiny is a very, very good song.
Yeah, they do some interesting things with this one where we didn't get to hear it in the sample that we played, but I mean, they start hitting like the synthesizer in the middle of things. Mm. And I was just about to make a joke, but the education of Jesse Starcher continues as there's a part in the song where I was going to say Zappin' Roger all of a sudden shows up, where,
nope.
You know, the,
nope.
The talk box. Am I talking foreign language here? You ever heard of the talk
in
box?
In my grandmother's box, there is an apple. Sorry, go ahead.
What the fuck? The talk box. Okay. Zap and Roger, which I thought it was Zap in Roger, like Zappin. That's not the case. It's Zap and Roger.
Like rain, is that like raining in blood?
It could have been. Poor Ice-T got a little confused.
Oh.
But anyway, there was. I'm trying to think of a song where that it was used. I believe it was used in some rap songs where the guy would kind of talk into a box and it would sound like a real synthesized voice. Anyway, that happens in this song where Peter Frampton did it in one of his famous songs. You know what I'm talking about, where he kind of – anyway – he uses the talk box and kind of talks through his guitar. So Zap and Roger was actually an American funk band that originated in Cincinnati, Ohio. So, hey, Zap and Roger. But, yeah, they're known for using the talk box, and that actually happens in this song at some point. At least it sounds like it to me. So, again, it's Mastodon is definitely not keeping it samey when all of a sudden, you know, that hits your eardrums. So it makes it interesting and keeps it fresh. And I agree, Clandestiny it's a pretty decent song. Again, when I was just like you, a little too harsh on the Beaver, and you know I may have flicked the bean just a little too hard. But hey, I actually started
Jesus.
Doing. Yeah, you said flick the bean earlier, so hey, you opened the door. Anyway, yeah, I liked it.
All right. This is our third single. This dropped.
Baby.
March 7th, 3 weeks before the album actually debuted. This is Jupiter Cyclops blinks at me. Yeah. You know who's driving. Andromeda.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Get high, motherfuckers.
Pass it around. Oh, man.
I talk a lot of shit, man. I talk a lot of shit. You know how many times I've smoked pot in my life? I'm going to tell you, less than five.
Less than five.
And it was all around the same time. I've told the story about, you know, the one girl that I was hot for. And I smoked pot to kind of get close to her. And boy, did that go badly. And I smoked pot once or twice when I was in California with a friend of mine. But I quickly gave that up. I wasn't really into it. But, dude, man, I talk a lot of shit about smoking pot for a guy that doesn't do
it. One hand. Well, as long as it's the left hand, I guess that'll be all right.
Oh, boy.
Yes, sir. Well, let me tell you, sir,
right.
Since
right
we're sharing.
For flicking the bean.
That's got to be in the lyrics somewhere for Steel Panther. Smoke a doobie while you flick the bean. I went to college at Ohio University, so if you look up much online about Ohio University and where it's located, unfortunately, there's a lot of grass being sown around there. So we'll just leave it at that. We'll leave it at that. But I will also add that my college days are behind me. So.
Did you not make it to class because you got high?
Because I got high.
But you got high.
Because I got high.
Because I got high.
I once ate an extra slice of cherry pie for a dollar. Yeah, that's how high I was. anyway.
High as fuck on the Metal Hammer Review, baby.
I'll never forget, you know, the same guy I was talking about earlier, Ty, we went to the Clutch show in Huntington, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been to many Clutch shows indoors, it gets a little smoky, okay? There's a lot of smoke going around. And my good buddy Ty was straight edge, you know, no, none of that, no alcohol, no nothing. All right, and he comes out of the concert, and he's looking at me all strange with this weird look on his face. He's like, "Man, I have a headache." And I'm like, "Yep, I imagine you do, sir."
Yeah, I've been,
I imagine you do.
I have definitely been in a few clam bakes in my time.
Oh my gosh!
Contact high. Yeah,
it's not. It's, you know, he had no idea. He had no clue.
No, I wasn't really into drugs. To be honest with you, I didn't like the feeling of being fucked up, which is weird because I did drink like a fish for a good period of my 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was mostly vodka for a while.
That's the best way to be.
I think the very first time I got high on pie, I drove my car home in neutral.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's
a cautionary tale, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Metal Hammer.
I'm just curious.
The more you know.
Were you confused? Like, why aren't I going anywhere? What the
Well,
fuck?
No, because, I mean, listen, man, I'll step in the ring with Brock Lesnar or Floyd Mayweather or Conor McGregor and fight them until I'm dead. Especially if they're going to pay me a lot of money to do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
I got this cancer, and I'm just standing in the street with double middle fingers in my air, my pants down, screaming, fuck it, let's do this. You know, I'm an ornery motherfucker. But when it comes to driving, I am Miss Daisy. I don't want to drive particularly fast. Why didn't make it as a trucker?
Marijuana is going to do nothing but make that worse. It's just going to make you be like really
God.
Overly cautious.
Hence the driving in neutral. All
right. Oh, that's wonderful.
All right. That being said, if you like me and you like to tip a few back in the day, you might get the bullshit breath as Phil Anselmo from Pantera once said. Or like Mastodon says, track 10. You get the scorpion breath.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, again, it's a track that had to take a couple of listens for me to for it to grow on me. Apparently, this is the one song on the album that has the vocal cameo of Scott Kelly from Neurosis, which apparently is something that's happened on just about every album that they've done. So there's that. That's a little bit of research that I dove into. Also, it says showcases Kelleher's, I'm going to pronounce his name like five different ways tonight, Kelleher's self-proclaimed favorite riff he's ever written on track 10. So take that for what it's worth.
Just saw your link, you jerk. God damn it now.
Hey, you know what, folks? Mm-hmm. Premium content. If you become friends with me and Mark Ravlich on Facebook, you can, or just search the hashtag MHOD, and you'll see all the fun Facebook references that we make throughout the album and throughout the show. Yes, indeed.
Yes. If you want to play the Metal Hammer of Doom home game, you must become friends with Jesse and I, or follow the hashtag on Facebook MHOD. There's a lot of fun to be. There's a lot of fun to be had. Usually Jesse just bombards Facebook with whatever nonsense we happen to be talking to at talking about at the time.
Whatever tickles my fancy. Tonight. Whatever flicks my bean.
Indeed. Reference. All right. This is the last track of the night. And then your old pal Weezy and the disapproving dad, Jesse Starcher, are going to pack it up, back it in, let me begin as we end. Insane in the Membrane, Cypress Hill. This is track 11, it's a long one. This is Jaguar God.
Yeah.
my rating here. I think upon a second listen, it's better than I was originally giving it credit for. Not my favorite, again, but it's still good. I'm going to go ahead and give it a solid A. I mean, again, just because I don't like it doesn't mean it's not conceptually, not content-wise, a bad album. It's, you know, it's definitely, I can see why people regarded it as one of the better albums of this year. That, and I feel like if I don't give it an A, Josh Calandros will beat me with a bat. No, I mean, it's a solid album. I think it's one that doesn't have a tremendous amount of replay value for me, but that doesn't make it necessarily a bad album.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead, and what I'll do is I'm going to give a 2 or 3 reviews from other from around the net here, and then I'll follow it up with my personal opinion, because number one, again, I don't know much of what came before here other than what I've read in the wiki and what I've heard, what Mark played for me earlier. So Pitchfork.com says Crack the Sky, which is one of their previous albums, contains that a more temperate approach was coming. Mastodon had finally mastered the art of writing 11 tracks that flow together as one. Mastodon haven't gone past the point of no return in pursuit of accessibility. If anything, Emperor of Sand proves the opposite. Musicians often rationalize losing their edge by talking about maturity. Mastodon can now feel free to use the word without lying to their fan base. Consequence of Sound.net. Mastodon, throughout their 17-year career, have proven themselves a band both heavy and heady, and rarely heavy-handed. These consistently strong new songs produced by frequent collaborator Brendan O'Brien are a solid, thoughtful entry from a band whose genre-crossing, time-bending blend of hardcore, doom, and prog metal has earned them a rightful place among the upper echelon of the metal elite. And Metal Injection gave this album a 9 out of 10. And that's pretty impressive. So, Mark, your A, to be honest, is probably, you know, well-supported by other reviews as well. Now, personally, the album overall had a somber but heavy feel, especially for the subject matter that was the inspiration for this album. My personal rating is easily a thumbs up. So I get the easy part here where I can do thumbs up, thumbs down. I haven't, you know, it's pretty rare for an album to get a thumbs down from me. These guys definitely aren't going to do it because I appreciate, number one, the concept that's going on behind the lyrics and the songwriting of this album. So I didn't hate it. It's easily something that I listened to 5+ times over here in the past couple days. And again, I found it growing on me more and more. So while I reiterate what you said, Mark, most likely this isn't something I'm going to go back and replay a whole lot. I'm not going to listen to it over and over like I have Creator or Body Count at this point. But at some point, I can easily see myself revisiting it in the future. Emperor of Sand is something I'm glad I had the opportunity to listen to, especially, and get the opportunity to review it right here on the Metal Hammer of Doom. So, Mark Radulich, take it away, sir.
All right. All right, thank you for bearing with us tonight. A bit of a shorter show than normal, but see the way I sound, so I'm just trying to keep it together. Tomorrow night, hopefully I'll be in a bit better shape. Ronnie's going to come on and make me review Silverado, one of his favorite country and westerns. If you haven't heard this show, it's a concept that sort of turns what we do here on its head. I bring a guest on, they pick the content, and then they interview me about what I thought about what they wanted me to see. And he wanted me to see Silverado, which I have. So he's going to come on, and he's going to be in the hot seat. Because when you make Mark Radulich do something, Mark puts you in the hot seat. So tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, barring any unforeseen calamity or, you know, admittance to the ER, we'll be doing Silverado. Yeah. Silverado, because Ronnie Adams of the Screaming Boy podcast made me. As far as Metal Hammer of Doom content, last week, Friday, we had to reschedule the show, but we took care of business, Jesse and I. We did the body count. It was great. Next week,
motherfucker.
Motherfucker. Next week, it's All Things Here in My Car, except for Source Material.
I might find something. I might be able to find something.
They got the Legion of Superheroes, Darkness Saga, scheduled. But we'll be reviewing, barring any interesting calamity, The Fate of the Furious on Damn You Hollywood, our only April entree into this month. And then right here on the Metal Hammer of Doom, Zombie Motors Wrecking Yard, supersonic rock and roll, baby. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to this, Jesse, but as far
is
as...
Is it out?
Some, yeah. It's been out for a little while now, but we waited until Here in My Car's week, right here on the Rattling Broadcasting Network to deal with it. Zombie Motors Wrecking Yard, just that dirty, grimy, barroom stoner rock that we all know and love. So we're going to check that out. And then On Trial returns for the month of April with Dude, Where's My Car? And you might be wondering, is this my beautiful house? You might also be wanting to take a drink. You might also be wondering, why Dude, Where's My Car of all the movies about cars? Because it's 420, yo. Hell yeah.
Uh-oh.
yeah, smoke a blunt. Fuck them all. Yeah, get baked. So two non-pot-smoking guys are going to prosecute and defend. I'll actually be prosecuting. Dude, Where's My Car? Ashton Kutcher's best work. And then finally, next week, Screaming Boy will himself will deliver a show about movie cars and all things cars and movies. The following week, we have another themed week here on the Metal Hammer of Doom on the Rattlers and Broadcasting Network. Source Material will be participating. We're going to look at Jonathan Hickman's Pax Romana. And then Andrew Graham, a man who loves all things fighty and punchy, will be on TV Potty Tonight to look at the sixth episode, season one of Roman Empire on Netflix, Reign of Blood, or Reigning in Blood, however you like it. And
however Ice-T likes it.
Metal Hammer of Doom participates in All Things When in Rome with Ex-Dio, The Immortal Wars, as told to us by Robert Cooper. And then finally, because Pat Mullen will be making me, we'll be reviewing the, he'll be interviewing me about the Lizzie McGuire movie. Because it takes place in Rome. Get it? Get it?
I still don't get it.
Takes place in Rome. When in Rome, baby. Let it roam, baby. Rome. Different Rome. All right. I'm fucking delirious. I put every matter of over-the-counter medication in my body. And my body is saying, for God's sake, tap or snap, you asshole. So I'm tagging in Jesse Starcher. Take me home, baby. Take me home.
All right. Yeah, about our Legion episode that is scheduled. I don't know if we'll be getting around to that. Hence, half of the guests that I was going to have on got married and turned around and had a honeymoon this past week. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to snag him on there. If that's the case, we will reschedule, and that will happen at some point, thereby opening up source material for something car-related possibly. So I don't know what the hell I'm going to find in my sack of comic books that has something to do with cars, but I guarantee you there's something out there. Maybe there's a Knight Rider comic out there. Let's just take a look. Let me just take a look and see. Knight Rider. And unfortunately, my spreadsheet says search key not found, so apparently I don't have anything to do with Knight Rider on my in my comic book collection. But regardless, keep an eye out there. Folks, go give the Rattlitch and Broadcasting Network a Facebook page. I'd like to stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. If you are listening to this via iTunes, feel free to rate and subscribe. We got all sorts of podcasts that happen on here. Hey, W2M.net is taking over the place with some great wrestling content. So if you like wrestling, Rattlitch and Broadcasting Networks want to bring it to you. Also, we got source material on my own podcast, which deals with comic books. You can go back into the archive, take a listen to some of the great stuff that we've done on there. Most recently, I think we did some stuff with Iron Fist. where we talked about, not only did we talk about the series, The Living Weapon, but we also talked about when Iron Fist met Power Man. Boy, you can't miss that one. So other than that, I can't think of much else that I want to plug right now. I'm sure there's going to be a Screaming Boy that's going to be dropping here pretty soon. Stuart Lang's got his press.
Real quick, there is a Knight Rider comic.
There is a Knight Rider comic.
Yep, Knight Rider, Volume 1, paperback, June 9, 2015.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to look and see. I can't believe I can't find that. I'm really surprised.
Option, if you wanted to do a real short one, would be the Battle World from the Secret Wars Ghost Racers.
Ghost Racers. So, okay.
Welcome to
All right.
Scorching Hot Track, where cursed souls race at the speed of sin. Anything and everything goes. Anything goes.
Wait just a second. Spell wacky. Tell me there's wacky race land. Now you remember the Wacky Racers.
Oh my God, there's a Wacky Racers comic?
I think so. At least we've got Wacky Race Land. Let me look. I gotta look this up here real quick.
Wacky Race Land, DC Comics, number one.
Is it the Wacky Racers? Dude. I'm all about that.
The world has ended, but the race has begun. Penelope pits up, Peter Perfect, and the rest of the Wacky Racers vie for the finish line.
Holy shit!
And I come, yes, exactly. This has to happen.
I have issues 1 through 6, so. Apparently this just came out too, according to what I see here. It started in 2016, so it must be an ongoing.
Is this a
trade? Take a look.
Is there a trade?
I don't know if there is yet. At least not. I don't know. Let me look and see. Wacky Raceland. I'm looking at images. Let me look and see if we've got anything. Is there a trade? Trade paperback. I see nothing. Wait. Wacky Raceland by Pontac Ken, available in trade paperback. publication date, March 14th of 2017. So it just came out. It was last month when it came out. So apparently there is one. Wacky Raceland putting together.
Ordering this today.
1 through 6. Oh, man. Now, see, I don't know. I don't recognize the writers. Yeah, I don't know what the hell we're going to get, if it's going to be any good. I don't know who Ken Pontac is. I don't know who Leonard Monco is. But anyway, hey, ladies and gentlemen, keep an eye out. Cars Week here in my car, where we may be on Source Material discussing Wacky Raceland. But anyway, I think that's it.
Which we're reviewing on Source Material, whether we have to do it live or whatever. This has to happen. I'm obsessed now. April 17th.
Oh my gosh, that's this Monday. Monday.
Fuck it, we're doing it live, baby.
Oh my goodness. All right, we can get it done.
Me and you.
I have no problem.
Me and you, Pally.
No problem getting it done.
I got to get this right now. Wacky race plan.
All right, so. That is all that I have on my schedule. Like I said, watch for Stuart Lang and the Press Start podcast. And we also have, Ronnie Adams and his great show, the Screaming Boy podcast. And here I am trying to think of all the other great podcasts that we have. You've covered most of them. That's it. That's it for me. I'm done. We're done with plugs. Now I got to start reading.
All right. I love it when a plan comes together, especially when I have to twist Jesse's arm to do it. All right, thanks. If you've made it this long, God bless you, brothers and sisters. Mostly sisters. I've checked the stats. So,
oh, my goodness.
All right,
flick that bean.
For Jesse Starcher of the Disapproving Dad and Source Material Podcast, I am your mandated reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified. Your pal, old Wheezy. We'll be back next week. Be well, be safe, and behave.